I'm asked sometimes to pinch hit for Greg. I don't know if it's because I look a little bit like him. So on the video, unless you squint, you know, if you squint, you might think it's him. But periodically, he'll call me. And the conversation always goes the exact same way. He'll say, "Larry, are you available to speak? I want to, you know, spend a little time going away, getting together here. It's his anniversary, and that's really great." And I'll say to him, "What do you want me to speak about?" And invariably, every single time, he'll say, "Speak about what you're learning and how God is moving in your life." And it is like Groundhog Day. I mean, it happens over and over and over. It's almost comical, and I haven't really learned yet that this is the way it's going to go. But today, I do want to speak to you about something I've been working on for the last couple of years, and that is opening up space for God to move in my life, for me to hear from him, and how much of a challenge it is in our day and age to open up space for God to be able to do that in our lives, because we have to open up space to do it. And the vision that I got thinking about this is one of like encroachment and how things sort of can move in to our lives, and we can lose open space in our lives. Encroachment usually refers to real estate, right? And growth of an area. When I'm driving down to White Pine, I go down Wynn Road and I look on both sides and it's just open fields. And isn't there something nice about just seeing an open field? And one field was plowed, and I see in the back of the field the lot of pine trees. It's always kind of nice because I'm going to White Pine and I see those pine trees, you know, and it gives me this feeling of just joy and gratefulness, especially on a sunny day like today. But you can imagine what it's like when encroachment starts to happen. And usually at first, you kind of think it has some benefits, and it does usually have some benefits. Everything has benefits and trade-off, but maybe like you get in your town, like a town like Cumberland, you get your own Hannaford, and you don't have to travel a half an hour to go to the grocery store anymore. Now you can get there in like 5 minutes, right? And then there's like a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts, and you're like, "Whoa, this is really great. I don't have to go all the way to, say, Portland for that anymore. Now I can just go right around the corner and grab a cup of my favorite brewed coffee, right? And donuts, too, and pastries." And so we kind of see this some convenience, but then after a certain point, you realize that all that open space is starting to go away. And you're looking around and you're starting to feel it's getting more and more and more congested. And finally, a city like Portland, you say, it used to be called the forest city because it had so much open woodland. That seems like not the right name anymore, does it? Something's different. Suddenly you feel like there's a lot of traffic, it's congested, it's busy, and as you're driving to those convenient places, you're starting to feel a little anxious, you know, when you're in the city, maybe driving, and maybe a little road rage comes in or something like that, and you're just feeling the congestion, and that's the way we can feel sometimes in the life, the harried life that we live. And this came into focus for me recently when I read this book, aptly entitled Stolen Focus by Johann Hari. And if you want to take a look at it, you can. But Hari begins the book by talking about his own personal journey. He said, "You know, I was sitting down trying to take some time out and read a novel, and I could not sit and focus for more than 30 minutes. And even then," he said, "I would start to forget what I was reading." Ever have that happen to you? You've read something and you've been really concentrating on it, but then you go, "What did I just read? I've had that happen to me, you know, with schoolwork or different things. So he felt like, wow, something's really not right with my focus. And he started to delve into this and look at what scientists were saying and researchers were saying. And sure enough, over the past 30 years or so, we have collectively really lost a lot of our ability to focus on things. The average student in school can focus on one particular task for about 65 seconds. One thing, 65 seconds. The average adult in the workplace, 3 minutes. You're like, well, I can do more than that. Well, really focusing, really intensely focusing on something. And that time has gone down over time. So he identifies 12 different things in our society that have stolen focus from us, right? And it's a good read, but you have to know that Johann Hari is not a Christian, although he has great respect for Christians, which I think is kind of neat, and the wisdom that Christ and the scriptures give. He's not coming from that perspective. And so I definitely agree with all of the things he identifies as problems, but not so much his solutions. However, when I was reading it, I just really gained like this Holy Spirit unction, that's kind of a good word, isn't it? Unction, that wow, the scriptures give us wisdom in this area. And I thought, we'll be able to look at least one thing today that I think every one of us can do to help bring focus in our lives and blessing in our lives, okay? These are going to come along with promises and blessings too, which is really good. Now, I know we're going to talk a lot about technology at first here, and some of you who are older, I want to warn you, don't go, amen, I knew it, okay? And those of you who are younger, don't get too glum about this either. I just want to, at the first part, look at some things to help us to be aware of what's happening to us, because it's happened in a very sneaky way over about 12 years, okay? And most of us have not really seen it happening, and that's by design, because people don't want you to know that this is happening because you might stop doing it, okay? So the loss of focus has completely aligned with screen time that we are absorbing. And so the first thing that you see is that the average adult in the United States today is now up to 7 hours a day of screen time. That's a lot of screen time. That's adults. The average person 12 years old is up one more hour, 8 hours a day of screen time. Well, you go, well, I work, that's my job, and I have to look at a screen, and that might be the case. The average boy, ages 8 to 18 in the United States, is spending, this is an average, 2 hours and 20 minutes playing video games. And the average, and it, you know, you just don't notice it happening, really. It's just like kind of, and I, whenever I play something or do an app on my phone, doesn't time just go whoosh? So I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. This is happening. And the average kid, ages 4 years old to 15, spends 1 hour and 30 minutes watching YouTube. Usually logged into YouTube in some way, which means they're getting fed video after video after video after video. You ever notice that on YouTube? You can fall asleep watching video, YouTube videos, and then wake up in the morning and it's still playing videos. That's what can happen. And some of you are laughing because you've had that experience. You're like, that happened to me last night. Oh, at least on Netflix, when we watch Netflix, and sometimes Kim and I will be watching a series and it's a rainy day and we just feel like blah, and we're laying on the couch and the sentence will come up, are you still watching? Do you ever have that happen? Yeah. I feel like it's a rebuke for me. Are you still watching? You know, you should not be doing this. Now, it's interesting because the Chinese, who have a much more tight-reined and structured society than ours, The parents in China had a movement because they felt like this is happening to our children and we have to do something. And so they, last year, August 30th, passed a law in China that the internet would be shut off for gaming at a certain time. Now, here's what they said. And you have to remember this. Parents wanted it to be stricter than this. But listen to this. In August 30th, China introduced new restrictions to limit the time under 18-year-old people that they can spend online. The restrictions now allow young gamers to only play on public holidays, Fridays, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 to 9 o'clock at night. And I know, you know, some of the young people are like, no, don't let my mother hear this. Don't let my father hear this, right? But can you imagine that? Imagine if we did that in this country, there'd be this public outcry and people would be like shaking and jonesing for their video games, right? I work in a public school and one of the biggest problems is our kids will be watching videos or playing games until 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And they come in and they're just exhausted. They can't learn. They end up taking a nap. We have to give them naps. I work in an elementary school. But you can see China, they're taking action on this. We don't live in that kind of society. We live in a free market society, and I'm glad we're free. But it's up to us to make some decisions on what we're going to do with this. If China is limiting this to a maximum of 1, 2, 3, 4 day, that's a holiday. 4 hours a week of video games. That's it. Boy, you would be like, really, this is your precious time. The biggest culprit of all, though, for us, right here, and the things that we put in our ears, especially, because we're getting tuned out. And the average adult in America is now spending 4 hours and 10 minutes on their device after they get out of work. So if you work for 8 hours and then you add 4 more, that's 12, right? And you sleep for 8 hours, well, you're getting up there, right? So you're not having a ton of open time. And here's the bottom line, and it's it's so ironic that the smartphone is making us dumb. The smartphone is making us dumb. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to show you that there's something going on here that I didn't really know about. It just snuck up on me because I'm the same as you. I'm probably even worse than many of you when it came to this very area. But every time you try to put your phone down, your smartphone down, there's hundreds of engineers that are trying to make you pick it back up. They're against you. They're doing everything they can to make it addictive for you, everything that they can do. It's almost like there's this insidious thing that's happening, this enemy of mankind that's out there. Not really just tech people. I don't think they're the enemy. I think there's a bigger enemy trying to get our focus off of God and squeeze out the time that we have in our life, make us feel like we don't have any time, when really, we have time. We just have to push back the encroachment. Does that make sense? So I know I spent a lot of time just kind of setting things up. We're going to look at some scriptures now because this hasn't helped us to be more productive. It's made us less productive. It's made us more anxious. It's made us fatigued. It's made us irritable, obese, and lonely. Those are not good things. So we have to be aware of what's happening. So the point I have is just one point today. It's make space for God. Make space for God. Open up some mental real estate for God. Because what's happening is it's robbing us of real estate in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. And we need to get that back. And the person we need to look at with this is Jesus. And that's always great, right? So I'm going to look at a scripture in Luke chapter 5. And Luke chapter 5, verse 12, There's a story. I like to read the whole story because Jesus is so cool. And it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Oh, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Oh, wouldn't you love to have seen this? This is better than anything on Netflix, let me tell you. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for you to for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Now this is the line I want us to pay attention to. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he prayed. Do you ever feel like the world is just clamoring for your attention? Could you imagine being Jesus and you do a miracle like this and everybody's like, I gotta get to see that guy. He's gonna solve my problems. And everybody's running to Jesus and he really didn't have any time for himself. And here's the Messiah. Here is God, man in the flesh. And yet just like all human beings, Jesus has the limit of, he's time bound, just like us. He's also bound to a human body that has its limitations. And he knew, I've got to withdraw or I'm going to get plowed over and burned out. I've got to go and take some time away. And it says here, to a lonely place, a quiet place. A place where we don't hear the voices. Now, maybe you feel like, well, I don't feel like people are clamoring for my attention. Maybe you do. You know, maybe you have young children and they're always over. I went over to my granddaughter's house last night and she was like, Daddy, Daddy, I want to talk to Chiefy. That's what they call me as their grandfather. You know, I want to talk to Chiefy. Stop talking, Daddy. And I'm like, who's talking to me? I felt like everybody's clamoring, right? But you might feel like there's this clamoring headset that's always in your ears. And it's always listening, listening, listening. And a lot of times you're thinking, well, I'm listening to godly podcasts. I'm listening to this. You have human limitations. You can only absorb so much, just like who? Jesus. You need to unplug sometime. You need it. You need it to be healthy and well, just like Jesus needed it. My son Harrison, I love him dearly because he's the kind of guy that likes to go out in nature and spend time alone. That's how he connects with God. And he is a manly man. I mean, you go into his house and the walls just drip with testosterone, you know? He's got tattoos. He was a Marine. He's got muscles that are on top of muscles. It's like boink, 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 you know? You go in, and it's really kind of cool to be around him. He's, you know, all girls want to be with him and all guys want to be like him. That's kind of my motto for him. And praise God, he's getting married. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, because he needs this woman desperately, desperately. But anyway, I digress a bit here. He goes out, and when he just moved to Florida, but when he lived in California for the last 10 or so years, and he would go out to the desert, and he said, Dad, the desert is so cool. It's so amazing. He goes, I love it because I can hear from God. The desert is so quiet that when the wind blows, you can hear the sand move. So cool, huh? And he said, it's so quiet. I feel like I can hear the voice of God working in my soul. I love that. And he would go out for overnights in the desert just to do this. And honestly, it was these overnights that helped him to move to Florida. Because he felt like that's where God was calling him to be. I love that he pushes the world away and just gets that time. The Psalms speak a lot about this practice of in the morning and in the evening, spending this time unplugged, taking those things out, maybe reading some scripture. It does talk about that. But then having the open space where you talk to God, but also you just listen. You might work things out in your mind too. It's not just like, oh, God, speak to me, you know, because that can be a little weird, right? That, you know, to some people feel like that's a weird thing. But have you ever kind of worked things? N.T. Wright talks about this, working it out with God, wrestling it out with God. You've looked at a scripture, and here's your life over here, your harried life, maybe something that's happening at work, and you're like, God, help me to work this out, and you're wrestling it. And, you know, you're walking maybe, and you're talking, or you're just sitting, or you're walking in the woods, and you have that open space time, and you're thinking. And God, and then bing, it comes to you. I should say this in a conversation. Or this is what my marriage needs. Or to be a great dad, I need to change this and do things this way. Or in school, here's a solution that I think aligns with the scriptures. It takes time for you to do that. And I'll tell you, this is what the Holy Spirit is for. God says, I'm giving you a counselor so that you're not going to be an orphan. You don't have to walk through this life alone without any help. But to do that, you've got to unplug and you've got to let God have the space to move. Does that make sense? Psalm 143, verse 8 says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. In the morning, just opening up some space for God. It doesn't have to be a ton of space either. I'm just saying, like, even 15 minutes of not listening to anything and just you. Maybe you have to get up a little earlier to make that happen, but it's worth it. Jesus did it. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. What instructs him? Not the word of God necessarily, although I think that's in his heart, but it says his heart is instructing him. So this isn't some necessarily weird, Larry, I have something I want you to do. Sometimes we think it's weird. No, his heart is instructing him through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See how that's working? But you need the time. You need the time to make it happen. The Psalms is the prayer book of the Bible. Jesus quotes Psalms more than any other book. And he lives it. He doesn't just quote it, he lives it. The beginning of the Gospels often start out with a psalm about Jesus, and when Jesus is on the cross, he quotes the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is the first line of Psalm 22. And it's all about the crucifixion. Isn't that amazing? Jesus went to the Psalms, and he lived it. Mark really does a good job showing us the flow of Jesus' life, the Gospel of Mark. Mark, you know, follower of Jesus, wrote down as much as he could, probably by Peter's word, okay? And in his gospel, he talks about early in the morning, Jesus waking up before the light came out, before the sun rose, and spending time with God. But I want to look in Mark chapter 2 here. If you have a Bible, you can open it up. Chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, one Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he answered, have you never read that David did what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need, In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, this is key, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the rest time, Jesus is saying, is a gift from God to you. Rest, open space, open real estate for God to work is a gift that is going to help you. It should not be a burden. Now, I love the two images here. One, you see Jesus walking in the grain fields with his disciples. Do you ever walk in a field that has like high grass? I love that. And you put your hands through. It reminds me, I used to walk with my family dog, Patty, Labrador Retriever, and we would go to this field, and it was full of timothy. You know those, it looks almost like grain because it has that little sort of bud head on the top. And I would just put my hands out like this and touch it. And you can picture Jesus and his disciples. This is Sabbath for Jesus, walking in the field with his disciples and enjoying the day. That's a great image, isn't it? Like, I remember picking that timothy, putting it in my teeth, and just like, thinking I was like Huckleberry Finn, carefree, you know? Looking around, enjoying, watching my dog, and the grass was so high, the dog would have to jump up and look. I'd see his face. And I'm like, the dog's even enjoying the Sabbath. That's the image of Jesus' Sabbath. The image of the Pharisee Sabbath is, you're not doing it right. And this is where we have to watch out for our religious preconceptions of what it means to spend time with God. I'll tell you, I grew up hearing, quiet time, have a quiet time. It's got to have, you've got to read for 30 minutes. You've got to sit for 30 minutes. You better pray for 30 minutes. Here's a chart. Tick, 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 tick. Can you not spend 1 hour with me? You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, I set my timer. I did all these type of things, and some of you are laughing because you remember it too. You remember it too, and somebody's wrecking the Sabbath for you. They're wrecking it. Some of these exercises are good, but you know what? God wants you to feel the freedom to have open space with him. And maybe, especially I want to talk to the guys here, you know, change your whole mindset on this. You do not have to sit in a chair. I don't see Jesus sitting in a chair here. You do not have to be a monk with your Bible. I mean, these are the images that I grew up with of a holy person, you know, a monk, monkish. Unplug, and maybe you need to walk and pray. Maybe you need to unplug and build something as a guy. You're not listening to anything. You don't have the radio, a ball game going, or anything like that. You just maybe you open the Bible, you read a scripture, and you're going to build something good, something cool. And let God work in your mind and speak in your heart. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you're like, wow, I can do that as a Christian? Doesn't sound godly to me. Maybe you need to unplug and garden. Unplug. Notice how I keep saying that? And do some gardening. Maybe you need to unplug and get in your boat. Maybe you need to unplug and go up to camp or go camping. Maybe you need to unplug and hike. Maybe you need to unplug and go to the seashore. Maybe you need to unplug and take a nap. Really, you're exhausted. You can't. That's why you can't focus on things. You're like, oh, Lord, I love you. I rest in Jesus. But that's okay. Maybe you do need to take a nap. Maybe you need to go fishing. Maybe you need to drive and use your commute and not turn the radio on, or cycle and not turn a headset on, unplug. Maybe you need to worship and just come and go, oh, I love what Joe said about I could do this every day. We feel that way. And Jesus did that. He went to synagogue and he went to the temple. He worshiped. And we need that. Maybe some of you are thinking, I don't know, Larry, camping, hiking, Fishing? Jesus did every one of these things I read, including taking a nap in the Bible with his disciples. He's showing us a pathway to worship with our lives, not just on a Sunday morning. And I'm going to close out with this because there's a lot of blessings. I could go on and on. Blessings of health, blessings of your mind, soundness of heart and mind, blessings of health benefits, all kinds of different things, lifestyle benefits. I'm going to focus on two here for us as we close out this morning. The first one is, if you unplug and you open up this real estate of your mind, heart, and soul to Jesus, to the Lord, okay, and that involves looking at his word and pondering it, you'll know God's will for your life. I hear that all the time as a pastor. What do you think God wants me to do? What do you think God wants me to do? I don't know. Talk to God about it, I say a lot of times. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I use this translation. It's NIV 84, because spiritual act of worship is a great translation of this term. The word used is latreai. And latreai, we get the word liturgy from it. It means this is your worship service. Your worship service is you walking with Jesus. This is part of our collective worship service where we do it all together, but you and I are to go out and walk with God and have this time, and that is your liturgy. That is your worship service. It's the same word used in the Old Testament for the priests going in and offering sacrifices to God. So this is what's happening. This is what Paul is writing to us, and he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the app, all the things pulling you away. Some apps are good. I don't mean to demonize everything. Then you'll be able to Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is a promise. This is not, then you might be able to, if you're lucky, you can hear, and it might work out for you. No, then you will be. This is a promise from God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you'll know the will of God. Secondly, the joy and the peace of God will cover over you. And this is supernatural. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. There's the joy part. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I love that. He's near to you. You go out, you unplug. He's near with you. You're partnering with the Holy Spirit. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is the promise part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is supernatural. God's holy peace will come upon you and change who you are. So you're not the person going, I need to be joyful, I need to be joyful, I need to be peaceful, I need to be peaceful, I need to be peaceful, I need to be peaceful. Peace doesn't work that way. I can't go to school and say to some kid who's having a temper tantrum, you know what, be peaceful. It's not a switch. It's not a switch. Don't let anybody tell you it's a switch. It's not. You need God to find peace. You need the Holy Spirit. This is going to transcend the peace that passes understanding. See, it's not a logical, I'm going to sit there and do this exercise. No, you're going to seek God, and the peace that passes understanding is going to guard your heart. Don't you need your heart guarded? I do. I get so much junk, I almost said something I shouldn't, you know, coming at me in this world. I need my heart guarded. Oh, I love it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close out with this. It's a quote from my son, Harrison. And it's the prayer I have for you. Harrison says, whenever I go and spend time with God, I hear his direction for my life. Sometimes, very directly. Most of the time, in my heart. And I always feel his peace, and I come home a better person. Isn't that what we all need? Isn't that what we all want? To have God transform us into the likeness of Jesus. So we know God's will, we live it out, and his joy and his peace make us better people. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we could take even this time to push aside all the stuff of the world and to be together and collectively say, we're staking out this ground for you, God. We're opening up this space. This is free space for you, O Lord. Holy Spirit, move. But I pray that we can do that not just here and now, but every day, that we can push aside the cares and the troubles of this world. We can unplug, even if it's like to start out with for 15 minutes here and then 15, or maybe it's our drive to work. We're not going to listen to things. We're going to turn off and we're going to pray and let you work in our lives. We're going to open up the word and let it dwell in us richly. I pray, O Lord, that especially in this time of Lent when we're preparing for Jesus, that you'll open up our hearts to this. And as we do, your rich blessings will shine down and flow in. We'll be filled with joy, peace that passes understanding, and a confidence in your will. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.